Well, sorry. Well, hopefully you enjoyed a little bit of that. I realized you only get one shot to show us a video like that, and that was at my wedding, so I just took my second shot at it. So hopefully that worked out. Hopefully, I was thinking this could be as exciting as watching a family's picture slideshow from South Dakota, so hopefully it wasn't quite that bad. But we're going to talk today about relationships and the relationship that God wants to have with us. And we're going to start a series that might take us 3 years, because my main job is up there. So I thanks Chris for letting me speak. I do enjoy up there. That's more my gifting than down here, but I get to speak once in a while, and that's fun. But we're going to start a series that God's been speaking to me over the last few years of what's your name? And there's something that I remember this one phrase from growing up, and my dad's here today. And it was one of those things he would say to me before I went out and played football. He would say to me before I went to school, and he said to me, I don't know why I'm tearing up here. It's emotional. Dad's here. He said this to me before I left for college. And at the time, we lived in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I came to Minnesota, and he said this, remember, you're a Nelson. Remember, you're a Nelson. And today, we're going to talk about, remember, you're one of God's. You have his name on you. And so we're going to talk about that. You know, I love hanging out with my family. I feel like as life gets busier, it just gets harder and harder to do that. We just got to carve out that time to do it. So I showed the video a little bit, too, so you could see. Unless you have little kids, you probably haven't seen my wife too much, because she's temporarily helping out in the nursery. And her name's Jen Nelson, and she's in there temporarily. So we say that, we throw that out there. If there's anybody that's, she loves kids, but there's some other things around here that we'd like to get her plugged into as well. So if there's someone here that, she didn't tell me to do this, I'm just plugging it. Someone that has a love for little kids, feel free to talk to probably Laura or Natalie on that one. But the other thing I love is hanging out with my son, Palmer. And he was a little kid in the video. And that video we showed at our wedding. And we've only been married 3 years, and he's pretty old. He's not three. I had the privilege on October 1st, 2004, of becoming a husband and a papa. And a name change. I got a new name. You know, he went through all these things, and Palmer's like, Phil, I'm not calling you Phil anymore. You're my papa. And so during the wedding, for those of you that were there, you probably remember this, because I see a lot of familiar faces that were probably there. It was not only a chance for Jen and I to declare our commitment to each other, but it was a chance for Palmer and I to form this bond. And similar bond to what God has offered us. God has offered us to that we would be adopted into his family, into his relationship. And so when I became a papa, one of the favorite, and you've probably heard me talk about this, and Jen will say it too, one of my favorite things to do is take Palmer out in public. I just love Palmer because, one, he'll do anything I say. It's great. So we work on a goal to find the line so we don't embarrass mom too much, and yet we can still have fun. So, and I apologize if you're anybody we've run into out there. So I just let that out front. But as we talk about commitments, and if you guys have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Chronicles. We're going to hang out in there. And I know a lot of people probably haven't been to Chronicles a lot, so shake the dust out. And it's in the Old Testament, it's before the Psalms. So Psalms are in the middle. Scoot to the beginning. We're actually going to be chapter 7, verse 14 is our main verse for this today. But in chapter 7, we see God making an invitation to us. We see God inviting us into a relationship. The video, the candle we were making, that was our unity candle. And so we're not that crafty all the time. Most people buy one, that's fine. It's totally fine. But we made this candle as our commitment, part of this commitment to each other. And we even had Palmer help light, too, when we were there. I have pictures of picking up. He was much shorter then. Now he's 9. He was just a little guy then. Just picking him up so he could lift it. And it was at North Heights at the Roseville campus is where we got married. And we made this candle as a symbol of our commitment. And so the first point I want to make to you guys is that when we make commitments, or when God makes commitments, they create relationships. It can be a physical relationship like this, friends, but we also make other commitments, and we also start relating to other things. It could be in our workplace, in our faith. It doesn't matter what it is, but once we make a commitment, we make a relationship with that is there. So I wanted to take a look at that, because once we made this commitment, we are no longer just individuals anymore. We became a family, the three of us. Early on, we just started we got to come up with a name for this thing. So we just, at the beginning of the video, had this thing called Fun Family. Because one of our things is that we're going to love God, we're going to love others, and we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun in the midst of it. So we form this relationship, we form this commitment, and I wish I could say it's always been easy. Because we've gone through a lot. And just to share a little bit of my life with you, we've gone through pretty much the whole gamut of things. We've lost a baby, and that was really hard. We've gone through it. Jen was in a place, she worked for Arby's Corporation for 14 years, and they decided they were going to move it all down to Atlanta. Well, that wasn't going to work, considering my church is up here. And so that was a point where we went through a job loss, and then we went to financial crisis on top of that, and all of a sudden we're going on this thing going, I'm glad we're committed to each other. You know, I remember looking at Jen, she's looking at me going, you're with me, right? She's like, yeah. I don't know what tomorrow brings, but we got each other. And that's commitment. And that's relationship. And that's us walking this together. And I'm going to grab some water here because I'm getting dry. But I want you to take this into your own court. We've all made commitments. As I said earlier, it's either to our work, where we decide that this is the business that I want, the career path that God's called me to, so I'm going to commit to this. We've made them in relationships with friends. We made them with our faith. Even coming today, we commit to this. A little side note there. I get so dry singing here. I don't know if it's dry, but after singing a bunch of songs, my voice gets a little parched. We make these commitments to each other, and our commitments, here's point number two if you're taking notes. The first one is commitments create relationships. The second point is commitments reflect our focus. Commitments reflect our focus. If you follow a person's commitments, all the things that they commit, you'll have a good picture of what they, in their heart, are focused on. Commitments create focus. They reflect our focus. So you could see from someone that is going through life for their own personal motives, and you can see what commitments they hold and which ones they let go. You can see a person that's focus is on maybe it's social justice, and you can see what decisions they make, which ones they hold on to, which ones they let go. So as we look at a person's commitments, you can see their focus. Well, that's the external, but as we look at our commitments, we can start going, where am I focused? And we just got done with a series called Destinations, and it was a whole series, and this is very much tied into the principle of the pathway that Chris was talking about, where it's a path. Our commitments lead are on this path. It's an opening to this path. Well, God's word says a lot about commitments, and that's why we're hanging out in 2 Chronicles today. And one of the things that God used throughout Scripture is symbols. From day one, when God created Adam and Eve, he started to form a relationship, an invitation for them to be his and for him to be theirs. A God and people relationship. The supernatural with the created. And so he started early on with this, and he's used symbols throughout all the Scripture. And we can even look at symbols that reflect on this commitment to each other. Symbols such as the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is what? It's a symbol of God's love. Because what was in the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments. Moses went and was hung out with God for a little bit, got gray hair, came down with 10 mighty rules, and said, people, God has offered you a chance of a lifetime here. He has offered to be your God if you will be his people. And so the people at that time said, yeah, that's probably a lot better than what we had going on in Egypt. And though even after that, They vacillated. Because God knows that people are fickle. We are fickle. We can't hold on to anything, it seems like. How many of us made a New Year's resolution, and by day two, we had nothing? You know? You know, one of the things that I've been working on for years is my weight. And I go to the gym as much as I can, and then there's a span where I'm going like 5 times a week and stuff. And, you know, I still go quite regularly and stuff. But it's easy to go, not today. I got a lot on my schedule. I got a lot going on. The commitment there reflects my focus. What takes the place is more important in my mind than going to the club. So as we look, we need symbols. I keep symbols at my house to help remind me of why I need to go to the club. We put these things up to remind us, you know, if it's a picture or if it's a phrase or maybe it's a Bible verse that says, remember this. Remember what God's goals are and the vision before you. But God has done the same thing for us. We can look at, like I said, the Ten Commandments. We can also look at the monuments that he's asked people to build. Did you know that when they walked across the Jordan, did you know that when they walked across water split, God had said, I want you guys to go to the river and pick out some big stones. And I want you to take these big stones for when you get to the promised land, the place I promised you, I want you to put them there. And I want them to be a monument, a memorial of what I've taken you through. God knows that we're fickle. He knows that as soon as we get to the place of land of milk and honey, we're going to forget those hard times. And then as soon as we hit the next hard time, we're going to be like, woe is me! You know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, for Jen and I, early on, we're like, no job? What's going to happen? God takes these monuments, these symbols of faith, and he says, I'm going to build into you. I'm going to build into this relationship. And that's my third point I want to give you. It's real simple today. We're just focusing on these relationships. The third point is that our commitments need nurturing. Our commitments need nurturing. Reminders. Things that we can have. Our culture's picked up into this. You know, and I apologize to those who are here single today, because a lot of times churches just focus on the married and family couples, so I apologize for that. But I remember, it wasn't too long ago, and I was single a few years back. But our culture's picked up on these symbols. You know, the wedding band. It's a reminder of that covenant relationship, that commitment. God has placed these in our lives in other ways, too. He's given us the word. He said, remember what I've done. Remember this legacy. Because I know life is going to get hard. You're going to lose a job. You're going to lose a child. You're going to run out of joy at a time and says, I want to replace it with my joy. So I want to give you these symbols. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we see in this place, because I'm looking at the time, I only got a few more minutes here, I'm going to really keep this tight. We see the temple being built. The temple was David's idea. The temple came from David as a love offering to God. There, in culture at that time, there was a lot of pagan religions that the Israelites hung out with. They were all around, and one of the things that was very common in these other pagan religions was to have a big temple. You had a place that you had to keep the idol in, and you had a place that you had to go and worship, and that was where their God was, and that was what represented their God. And the Israelites, well, they didn't have that. And God didn't want that. Not saying he didn't want the temple, but he was very particular about how the temple would be built. And this is just one of those signs. The temple was to be a monument. It was supposed to be a symbol of God's grace to us. He said, if you're going to build this temple, this is how I want you to do it. This is what I want. It gets so detailed, it's more detailed than the instructions from IKEA, because I don't know who can understand those. So just stick figures with a screwdriver. I don't get it. But God gets so detailed that he actually puts in the feet. It's just like, basically, go get your rocks and build it, you know, kind of thing. And he was so specific about how the rooms were supposed to look. It wasn't even God that approached the subject to begin with. David approached it. David said, God, I love you so much. You've done all these things for us. I want to build a house for you. I want to build a house for the name of the Lord. And that is when God said, if you're going to do this, here's how you do it. Because in this covenant relationship and commitment, God did not want us worshiping a building, an idol, anything other than Him. And I didn't realize it until I was studying this over the last few months, that the temple, there is no idols in there. You might go, well, duh, God's against that. But there's no symbol, actually, of God in there. There are symbols of His holiness. There are symbols of His grace. But there is no idol. You go into the neighboring temple with the neighboring god, you're going to see a big idol. They don't got it. God said, I want to be with you. I want to have this commitment with you. And so we don't even have these idols here. We have symbols that remind us of God's sacrifice for us. But is it the cross that we worship? No. It's the one who died on the cross and rose again. Is it the temple that people worship? There would be a tradition of praying towards a certain direction because that's where God's at. And in the scriptures, it says in chapter 6, Solomon gets up there and he prays and he says, God, we pray that you would bless our land, which is not a bad thing when you're a farmer. You want to have good land. So in other words, provide for our daily needs. Lord, bless this. Get water on the land. Let things grow. And he said, hear our prayers when we pray to you. He goes another step forward, and I think this is interesting. He says, for those that live far away, or some translations will even say foreigners, says, when they pray towards this direction, Lord, hear their prayers. Because that's a traditional thing. You know, pray towards the direction of the temple, because that's where God's at. Well, God's not just there. His presence was there. The Holy of Holies was there. It was there, but God desired to dwell among His people. We'll see even Jesus in the New Testament with the woman at the well. And the woman at the well comes to Jesus and says, after this revelation to her, that this is not just a normal dude getting water, that this guy knows a lot about her. Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, and who asks Jesus, her backup question was, Jesus, where am I supposed to worship? In Jerusalem? On the hill? Where? Where am I supposed to be? And what was Jesus' response? A time is coming. A time is coming. We'll neither have to worship there or there. It's you. It's God in us. The Holy Spirit's coming. It's not just a place. It's me in you. If I can go a little tangent here, a little connection thing, this nurturing. We're on commitments need nurturing. Interesting thought. This temple, as I looked at it, and just theory land here, is it's set up in a way that it represents grace. That it would be a place where people with sin could find forgiveness. They would bring their offering, their sacrifice, and they would sacrifice and they would find forgiveness. They'd be cleansed from their sin. The priest would offer this. The high priest lived within the temple. It was also the place of that the grace came. Jesus is our high priest. God, Trinity, bring it all together. Jesus is God, Holy Spirit, Father, one. Jesus wants to be within us. Also, we've seen in Scripture before that our body is a temple, right? And anybody like me that is overweight starts feeling guilty at that moment, going, oh my, so let's not preach on that one. But God says that our body is a temple, that it has been a place that He wants to fill and He wants to work through. And what Jesus is talking to the woman there, very much so, going, it's not there or there. I want to be in you. I want you to be so committed to me that I'm in you. That I am in you. And so David's desire, the culture was risky. David wanted this, but the culture was risky to put a temple together. Because there's easily we could have put an idol in there. And actually down the road, there was a bit of struggle with that. But the temple was a place to equip us. So today is a church, Emmanuel Covenant Church. This is a place to be equipped for worship. The temple was a place that we could worship God. It was a place that the Israelites could meet with him. It was not the place to worship. It was the place to worship from. It was also to be that monument of the living God, but as a sign of grace. Did you know at the time, the whole world of the time would have known about this great structure. Solomon was building it. He was known as the wisest man to ever have lived and to live. And it was in scripture, it even says that people like the Queen of Sheba would hang out with him. It was known. This is the dude that had it going on. He knew the wisdom. He knew what was coming ahead. If you were going to go and you were making a large decision or something, go where the smart people are, right? So this is a place of trading and wisdom and wealth, great wealth. And now this place of great wealth has been making a big building. It's a temple. People knew about this place. People also knew about what happened with the Israelites in Egypt. People knew about this God named Yahweh, the God of Israel. So this temple was also supposed to be a sign of grace to the foreigners, to the world. And so Solomon even prays. He says, Father, when people come, a foreigner, may we find housing for them, shelter, and will you hear their prayers? I think it's interesting that David came up with the idea. Now, David was a warrior. David was a warrior. Little kids in our kids' ministry are learning about David, who killed lions and bears and giants. It didn't stop there. It grew to armies and war, and he built this thing. And the world knew that if Israel was coming after you, you better hightail it out of there, because the living God is on their side. That's not the place you want to go for grace and peace. Right? That's not the place. So I think it doesn't say this directly in Scripture, but I think this is a little interesting too. If David built the temple, the great warrior, that wouldn't have been a great sign for the rest of the world to understand grace. Solomon lived in a time where it was more of peace. And people, foreigners were able to come, travelers were able to come and experience this. It wasn't always peace, but it was more of a time than peace. Than David. Solomon gathers the people together. They all come before the temple. The last block has been laid. And he says this prayer to God that he would fill this place. And God's presence comes upon this place with such a thickness that it says that the worshipers and the priests could not enter in. The worshipers and the priests could not enter in. And he answers their prayers with his presence. He nurtures this commitment. And so 2 Chronicles 7:14 is actually an answer to all this. Solomon laid out the prayer request. You know, bless our land. You know, bless that. Bless our people. Hear our prayers. And Solomon now hears this from the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to start with verse 12. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that the name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. I'd love to have something like that from God. I would love to have something so clear and so concise as this. But God had spoken to Solomon in clarity. He wanted him to know that if you would humble yourself, seek me, pray, turn from your wicked ways. Turn from those things that you know are not of me. Of course, I will be there, Solomon. I will be there. I've always been there. If you will be my people, I will be your God. If you will be my people, I will be your God. He gives him something else. He gives him his name. Scripture has this way of sometimes doubling up things, where it says in verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name, it says, that are known by my name. There's obviously in our world today, and it seems to come out even stronger in political years, there's all these people that come out of the woodwork that are Christians, supposedly. And I don't know if they always are. I'm not the judge in it. But he says here, if you are my people, you will be known by my name. You'll be known for the characteristics of me. You'll be known for that. The other interesting thing, link in this, we live in an age of identity fraud, identity theft. It's a big thing to give somebody your name. It's a big thing to give anything with your name on it these days. We got shredders in our homes just to throw mail away. And we have things that we just hide our name away. It's a big thing. And God's saying, you know what? I'm giving you my name. I know the risks out there. I know all those things. But I want to give you my name. When Jen and I got married, she took my name. That was cool. It was really cool. It's still cool for me to hear her on the phone because we don't walk around the house saying, hey, Mr. Nelson, hey, Mrs. Nelson. It just doesn't happen. So it's still pretty cool to hear her on the phone. And she says, hi, this is Jen Nelson, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, kind of thing. So God's given us his name. That's not a small sacrifice. There's a lot of risk with this. God's given us his name. It wasn't a name picked out of a hat when Chris was praying and when people would gather together. God named our church. He named it with his name. Emmanuel Covenant. Commitment. A promise. Covenant. God with us. A promise that God wants to be with us. Emmanuel Covenant. We've been given his name. And in a few weeks, you're going to hear about something that we're going to do. We haven't, I don't know if the right word's promoted. We haven't introduced ECC, Emmanuel Covenant, to anybody. We haven't put ads out and done anything to really get the word out or handed out a lot of flyers and stuff. But in a few weeks, you're going to hear some more about how we desire to share what God's doing here with more people. Because of his name here, we're going to share it with others. And I'm really excited because I really believe in what God's doing at ECC. I love the way that he can refresh us by being in his presence. I love the way we can get together and we'll go eat some crazy donut holes with sprinkles on top. And you can tell which one's got the powder ones because they got it on the shirts. but I love it when you go in there and there's just a buzz of just people just hanging out. And then we come in here and we just hang out with God. And we just hang out. And then Chris shared the story of people just getting together. I love this. I love what God's doing. And this is just the beginning. And it's got God's name on. So we want to remember that. So as we share with the community, we become like that temple. Not just a lighthouse, not just a giant building that shines out and says, hey, come to us. No, God said in Matthew 28, says, go out. I put my spirit in you, go out. So, but the temple and the disciples going out, they went out and shared his name. They became a witness to the goodness of God. They became a person, like, if I could have shied away and not shared some of the stuff going on in my family. I could have shied away and shared and not told you about, you know, things of job loss, deep pains of losing a child. But you know what? God's using that. I'm going to shine that out. I'm going to let people know the hope that God's given me through this. And I think one of my gifts through all the storms that we've gone through is faith. It's faith. I don't want any more, Lord. we're pretty good. But it's faith. So God's offering us this chance to share with him. God has made a commitment to us as a church and to you as an individual. He wants to give you his name. God has gotten down as close to one knee being died, sacrificed on the cross, and said, will you be my people? Will you let me be your God? Church, Emmanuel Covenant Church, will you be my church? Will you let me be your God? so that when the world hears the name Emmanuel and they see your church, Emmanuel, that they'll see me. And not just a bunch of slick programs and great donut holes and songs and stuff, but they'll see God. One of the things that I've shared before, and so you might hear, is I don't really want to be known for a church that has a great band. I've played in a lot of churches. As Chris said, I do help a lot of churches start their worship ministries up. One of the first things I tell them is, I will not work to make you the best band in the area. One, I don't think I'm that good. But what I would help you with is I want you to be a place, and I want us to be a place, that when you come in, it's easy to meet Jesus. It's easy to meet Jesus. It's easy to meet Emmanuel. That this would be that place. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not the fruit that we seek, but the giver whose name we bear, Emmanuel. He's made that commitment. He's offered that relationship. As we make that commitment, our lives become more focused. They become very pointed to Christ-like ministry. As our church moves down this path, we will find out even more so of what our focus is. Right now, we're just an infant. We're not even a toddler yet, and growing our legs. But as we grow and we develop this focus, this dynamic power will grow in us. And he also has offered that he would nurture it. He'll continue to remind us. Each week when we come to worship, it's not just to hear someone speak or to hear some music on the screen. It's a chance for us to be reminded of the great things that God has done. I love coming to church. I love singing to God with you. It is not a performance. It is not me jumping up on stage and playing music. I played in a lot of bands. I played big festivals like Sunshine. I played secular stuff. And I left all that to go, I just want to worship you, God. I just want to worship you. And so when we come, that's it. God, put your name on us. Mark us with your name. We make this commitment to you. Thank you for your commitment to us. So will you close with me in prayer? Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for going the first step. Thank you for the going that first step of saying, I want you to be my people. Thanks for inviting us, Lord. You didn't have to. You're God. You didn't have to do that. Thank you for choosing us. Not just us as a church with a little C, but thinking of us as the big C church. Just our fellow brothers and sisters even worshiping around us today at other buildings, Lord. And thank you for calling us to you. I pray for this community. I pray for that you would use us as a church, Emmanuel Covenant, to shine your name, to shine your truth. That we would be marked, called by one name, marked by your name, Jesus, Yahweh, Emmanuel. Lord, I pray for us as individuals sitting here that maybe are looking for direction in our careers, in our relationships, and some just, we're looking for in our faith. Lord, I pray that we would be marked by you. I pray that your name would be upon us, Lord, and I pray that we would be able to humble ourselves to you. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to seek your face in the midst of all this. And that the world will know us by your name. It's no longer Phil, but it's your name upon my life. In the quietness of your heart right now, I want you to make that prayer with God. If that's where your heart is right now, just ask God to place his name upon your life. And that when people see you, hear you, know you, that it's not necessarily your name first, but it's God in you. It's his name. If that's where you're at right now and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, just pray that in your heart. God, you hear our hearts. You know what's going on. We stand here right now desiring for you to make us into the church that you want us to be. We're not perfect. We'll make mistakes. but we want to honor you and glorify you and be marked by your name. That the commitment we have to you would be evident. So we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hey guys, thank you so much for coming today. Thank you, Chris, for letting me share a little bit. It is my joy to get to lead worship with you guys. It is just fun. Always looking for suggestions and new people to join. But will you stand with me for a benediction here and a blessing on you? And as you guys leave today, one of the things being marked by his name is we want to be a good steward and also be, take care of the facilities that God's allowed us to be in. So if you see a bulletin or something, if you wouldn't mind recycling what can be recycled, and if it's something that needs to be thrown away, you can throw that away too. Thanks for being here today. Let me just pray a blessing. Father God, between now and next time, we pray that your spirit would be in us. We pray that our minds would be set on your mind. We pray that our thoughts would be set on your thoughts. And I pray that you would keep us close to you and that you would nurture the commitment and we would receive it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.